done fell right down that rabbit hole. So reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder mayhem tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Hall, and their dog Ninja.
And sometimes their cat Freddy, but never the ferrets.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 392 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, we have a crazy story tonight, but obviously we're going to start off thanking all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thank you for your guys, gals, and service animals for everything you do for us on a daily basis.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys so much. Continued prayers for you guys, we do every day. So thank you for watching over us and keeping us safe.
Tracy, I know you're in the same situation I'm in, that I've gotten, I don't know, three or four different calls or text messages from people going through some things this week. Life's a struggle, folks. It just is. We're no different than you guys. We go through stuff too, and we find people to talk to when we need to, because we know that there's no shame in talking through your situations you got going on. Sometimes you will be surprised that it may not fix the problem per se, but it will make you feel 100 times better so you can tackle that problem.
That's very true. And it may be just one word that does it, that somebody might say to you, might be just that one word that makes you think about it. So we get, you know, we are always here for you. The group is always here for you. We can give you our cell phone numbers if you'd just rather talk that way. If you don't, you want to talk to the crisis hotline. It's 988 and text is 741-741. We love every one of you, and you be sure to contact one of us. We'll get back with you, promise.
All right, Tracy, this story. So we've covered a few bizarre cases on the show that fall more into the unknown than the paranormal category. Like, for example, we did the Dyatlov Pass, where remember the people, you know, were on the mountain in Russia, and they all ended up half naked and shoes off and tent tore up, but nobody seems to really know what happened to them. You know, that's a story that's, you know, may have some paranormal stuff to it, may have some alien stuff to it, but for the most part, it goes into the unknown category. We've covered a couple of cults and stuff like that. Well, tonight's story is more along those lines. So it's not paranormal at all. It's just a weird ass story.
Well, I'm ready to hear about it.
I've actually heard this story several times in the last 8 years. Oh. That's when it happened, back 8 years ago. And it still completely baffles me. And I know there are going to be people that once we get through and they hear the story, especially if they haven't heard it before, they're going to be like, oh, well, it's quite simply this, or it's quite simply that. But I don't think it's quite simply anything. And you'll see what I mean as we go.
Okay.
And Tracy, the main reason I'm going to say that is because the people that were involved aren't even sure what the hell happened.
Well, that's interesting.
Right.
Maybe it's a good thing they don't know.
All right. So I'm going to give you what I know for a fact happened, and then I'm going to let you guys speculate on why it happened. That sound fair?
Fair enough for me.
All right. Our story starts off on August 29th, 2016 in Melbourne, Australia.
Joshy's birthday.
Nice. On this day, Mark and Jacoba Trump, T-R-O-M-P, convinced their three adult children that they had to flee their family farm ASAP.
they trying to just play a joke on them or something? Or
no.
Oh, I thought maybe they were going to joke them or something.
No, this was not, you know.
What is that called? like a prank.
Yeah, this is not that. So the Trump family ran a farm. Mark and Jacoba worked alongside of their three adult kids. You had Rihanna, who was 29, Mitchell, who was 25, and the youngest was Ella at 22 years old. They were growing and selling berries. That's what they did on their farm.
Fun.
But on this date, the family of five left everything behind without telling anyone. They jumped in Ella's vehicle, which was a Peugeot station wagon. They set out on a 995-mile journey that ended in one of the children being charged with stealing a car and two of them in psychiatric care.
Well, what the heck? They just dropped everything they did and jumped in the car and took off.
More or less.
Wow.
So initially looked at as a missing persons case, the entire continent of Australia was captivated by this case. Now, initially, this seemed to be just a hardworking family that just disappeared. But that wasn't the case at all. They didn't disappear. They had fled their farm for their lives. Now, when friends and family members became concerned, obviously, because they hadn't heard from them, they asked the police if they would go out to the farm and investigate. Now, this is where the story begins to unfold. When police arrived at the farm, they found that the family had left all of their important belongings at the farm. Their cell phones, their passports, their credit cards.
Well, that's not a good sign.
All of the family's vehicles were in the driveway with the keys in the ignition, except for Ella's car, which they took. They had not only fled, but they left any way that they could be tracked at the house. That's why they left their cell phones. That's mm-hmm. why they left their credit cards. They took off on this trip with nothing but cash, so they could not be tracked. Police also found several business and financial documents. Now, all these were organized in piles as if someone was actually searching for something. But as police looked into it, they found out that the family had no financial problems whatsoever. That was their first thing. Maybe they're into some kind of, you know, they owe somebody some money, or, you know, maybe there's a mobster after them because they're into them for some money, but they were not in any kind of financial trouble at all. So that wasn't going to be the case. By this point, the Trumps were hundreds of miles into their journey. And this would spark one of the most bizarre missing person cases in Australia history. So let's look at what actually happened. I will say this, that the details of this case are still a little murky, but Mitchell and Ella seem to have similar accounts of the events, and that's where I got most of my information is from interviews done with them.
Okay.
So remember when I said that the family left all their cell phones at the farm?
Mm-hmm.
Well, not quite. On Monday, August 29th, when they left, 25-year-old Mitchell brought his cell phone. He apparently wasn't 100% bought into what the rest of the family had bought into about fleeing. But about 19 miles into the trip, it was discovered that he had his phone. This was not a good thing. His parents went berserk. Mark and Jacoba were so panicked when they realized that he had his phone that they were in tears. And the thought of being tracked and being found by whoever through his phone was too much for them to bear, and they forced him to throw his phone out of the moving car.
This is messed up.
So the next day, Tuesday, August 30th.
I mean, if they had AT&T, they wouldn't have had to worry about it.
Yeah, they wouldn't have had service anyway. Tuesday, August 30th. This was around 7 a.m. Mitchell was frustrated, first of all, by his parents' paranoia, but then also by the fact that they made him throw his phone out. He decided he was leaving the trip and he was going back home. They were at a place called Bathurst in New South Wales at this time. He ended up taking a bus home, mm-hmm. public transportation.
I mean, they knew he was going to do that?
I don't know if they knew he was going to do it. He just did it.
Wow.
So I'm assuming the family didn't put up much of a fight to keep him there. It mm-hmm. just didn't seem
because
like
they were
it.
Just pissed off because he bought that cell phone in the first place.
Yeah, I guess. Tracy, that would be the most normal part of this story. Is what we just said.
Yeah, grief.
A short time after Mitchell left, the rest of the family had moved on, and they were at a place called Genola Caves. This was near the Blue Mountain. This is also where the story takes a turn. I guess a turn in a stolen car, we'll say. But later that day, the two sisters, 22-year-old Ella and 29-year-old Rihanna, they stole a car and they left their parents. They drove to a town called Goulburn, and they reported that their parents were missing.
Oh, to take the well, what am I trying to say? I don't know. I'm trying to say.
All right.
Like to take the heat off them, maybe.
I don't know.
And to say that they were missing, so they would focus on them.
Well, it's here that the sisters decided to split up. Mainly because Ella wanted to get back home and feed her horses. So Ella continued in her stolen car.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually the first family member to get back to the house.
She got back before Mitchell?
Yeah, because she was able to just drive. He had to take a bus, and the bus didn't get there until the next morning.
Daggone.
She was greeted by police on her arrival in the stolen car.
Oh, well, that's crap.
So Wednesday, August 31st, Mitchell arrived. Like I said, he came the following morning. Mitchell and Ella appeared to be almost unaffected by the events that had taken place so far. It was just like, oh, things are normal.
Yeah.
They appeared to be completely normal and just as perplexed about the trip as the rest of the country was. They didn't know what the hell happened. But what about Rihanna? Remember, they split up. Yeah. The girl split up.
She had to go steal a car?
That was a completely different story, in all honesty. What she did do was climb in the back of somebody's truck, like the back seat of their truck. She was actually found in the back of a pickup truck by the driver almost an hour away from where she had climbed in at. She was in a catatonic state, according to him.
Was she in the truck bed or just
no? She was in a back seat.
Oh, okay.
Like a mm-hmm. you know, extended cab truck. She was catatonic in a catatonic state and claimed she didn't know who she was or where she was.
Like she being for real?
Yeah, she's being 100% for real.
Okay.
He said that he was driving, and his name was Keith Whitaker, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he was driving, and he felt something kick the back seat. And when he looked back, she was just laying back there all sprawled out in the back seat and the floorboard.
Oh, man.
He was nervous. He took her to Goulburn Hospital, and they treated her in the psychiatric ward.
Well, I mean, I don't know how they think they're really going to get anything out of her, I guess. Just wait and see if she comes around. What do you think?
Yeah. All I know is we still got the parents out there.
Right. Well, at least she's somewhere safe.
Yeah. So Mark and Jacoba are out and about. The news had spread all around the country, that there so much so that there was an intense search of the interstates to try to find the Trump's car. Like I said, it was a station wagon. I think a Volkswagen. It's a Peugeot station wagon. I don't know if that's the brand or if it's a Volkswagen Peugeot, but that was the name of the car.
It has to be big enough for five people.
Well, most station wagons are. Most regular cars are. The following day, September 1st, Jacoba is actually found dazed and confused and Yass, Y-A-S-S. After being separated from Mark, she was actually found wandering around the town, just wandering around. She had gotten to Yaz on public transportation, just like Mitchell did. So now nobody really knows, from my understanding, how her and Mark got separated or why she was jumped on public transportation and why she went there.
So she didn't ask anybody in the town, like, hey, do you not see something wrong with this picture?
As far as I know, they just saw her walking. And
that so, is weird. It's weird, Louie.
Now, later that night, there was a couple. I think the name of this town is Wagerat.
Mm-hmm.
Wagerata. But they reported a disturbing experience. They were tailgated by a man in a silver Peugeot station wagon.
Uh-oh.
When they pulled over, the driver of the station wagon got out. He ran towards them. He then stopped in the middle of the road, stood there, and just stared at them. And then he walked into a nearby park called Mira Park that was believed to be Mark Trump.
Wow.
Also, September 1st.
I mean, so that they, I mean, the police officers didn't say, what are you doing? Or are you
Well,
this?
They didn't talk to him.
Well,
they were going by the report by these people.
Right, but.
Well, I'm getting to it.
Okay.
Slow your roll. In an effort to find his father, Mitchell went on TV and he appeared on Channel 9 News. The police were there also. And they were just appealing for info. Well, Mitchell said he's scared that people are after him. He's not in a good state of mind. Now, who Mark thought these people were that were after him is unclear. Mitchell told reporters that he couldn't provide a specific explanation for his parents' paranoia and that their extreme behavior shocked him and the rest of the family. He said he had never seen anything like it. Mitchell said that it was really hard to explain or put into words, but they were fearing for their lives and they decided to flee. After Jacoba was found, New South Wales Police Officer Sergeant Mark Knight said that this was the most bizarre case that he had ever seen in his 30 years of law enforcement.
So did he have to go all the way back home to find his wife and stuff? Or?
No, we're still not there. We're not through with the story yet.
Oh, my bad.
On the evening of Saturday, September 3rd, Mark Trump was located running along a street on the outskirts of that Wangaratta town. He was picked up by the police and released to a relative several hours later. At least it was a relative. Now, as he was driving away, he gave the finger to all the awaiting media. The following week, on September 6th, he actually expressed his regret over the whole ordeal.
His regret?
Yeah. But he didn't elaborate on what caused the distress. He said, without reservation, I apologize for the hurt and concern caused by this event. But that was it. So Mark was picked up on Saturday, September 3rd. On Monday, September 5th, Ella was charged with theft of a motor vehicle. Rihanna was also charged, but those charges were dropped under the Mental Health Act that they had in Australia.
So she's still in there? It was still
in
there?
No. Well, she was in there for several days. She was in there for several days.
Okay.
On Monday, March 6th, the charges were also dropped against Ella.
Oh, good.
So they dropped hers too.
Good.
So what the hell happened? Well, police were not able to find any threat to the family. The family was not in financial crisis. There were no drugs found anywhere on the premises. And the family wasn't involved with a cult or extreme religious group. It seems as though the family suffered a breakdown and they were overrun with paranoia that was fueled by each other.
Well, I was going to say, that's weird that it happened to all of them at the same time. Mentally, telepathically said, you're on my nerves. And then she said, if I have to pick one more of these damn berries. And the dad said, shut up and do what I tell you. And mom said, kids, quit aggravating each other. And that's how it all ended.
I will turn this berry truck around.
Yeah.
All right. There's actually, Tracy, a technical term for when everybody like that feeds off each other. It's called filet à deux, or in English, shared delusion disorder.
Wow.
I actually have another story that's even crazier, I think, than this one that involves that.
Mm.
That went on for years. Whoa. Years.
That's sad for those people.
So most people think that they had this condition, the shared delusion disorder, and that's, believe it or not, a condition that's almost exclusively affects couples and close family members.
Well, how weird is that?
But see, I kind of think like the dancing thing that went on before where everybody started dancing, I kind of think that's kind of the same thing. And that was like a big group of people where they danced until they died over in France or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it's probably where that saying came from, because that was a French saying. It probably had something to do with it. Anyway, Ella and Mitchell, they both said that they saw stress building up on their parents the last few weeks before this event took place. Some have speculated that the weird behavior might have actually been brought on by chemicals used on the farm.
That could be true.
But there was a search. They did actually did a search and some testing, and they determined that was not the cause. The reality is that the family of five is perfectly fine now, and we may never know what exactly happened. But, you know, it's obvious that mental health clearly played a significant role.
Right. And I wonder if they actually discussed it with each other after everybody was back together.
I've got some interviews that were covered that I was able to look at. So like Rihanna, she actually gave an interview where she talked about the possibility of it being shared delusion, right?
Mm-hmm.
She said, it's true. You do kind of start thinking all the same. And she said, you have a few things that build up. It's very confusing. I still feel confused.
Well, I bet she does.
But what about Mitchell? Remember, he brought his cell phone. So right. I said that he might not have been completely bought into this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the reason that he even went on the trip was, and I'm going to quote here, I just had to go with the family because I wanted to see where they were going. So he knew that it was weird.
For him all to just take out.
But he didn't want him to just go and him not have a clue.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, I couldn't leave them, but yeah, it was tough seeing them like that. I've never seen anything like that, but the important thing is that they're all okay now. Everyone is safe. Everyone is well. So we can just get back to being a family again. And the Trumps have actually kept a low profile in the years since all this, and they're just back to their regular lives now. So let's rehash a little bit. This family, which seems to be a perfectly fine family with no financial problems, running a farm, all working together, somehow one morning, all jump in a vehicle because they're paranoid that they're going to be tracked. They leave all their personal stuff. They take off on a trip. And one by one, they left.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
I mean, each one of those were captured, or not captured, but they all arrived and had different endings. Mitchell left first, but Ella made it home first. Then Mitchell made it home. You know, your other, Rihanna's in the hospital. Then the mom turns up and Yaz on public, just kind of out of her head. She's under then psychiatric care because she doesn't know where she's at. And then the dad's captured a couple of days later.
So I wonder how they knew that the sister was in a mental hospital. I mean, how do they know that
if
they didn't remember anything about whatever happened?
Well, I'm sure she eventually, within a couple of days, probably knew who she was and all that just at that moment. But she was so traumatized, but she was in a catatonic state. the mom obviously was so affected that she was. So you wonder, it sounds like the dad had the issue first. And he kind of coerced everybody else into believing it.
Hmm. Didn't work on Mitchell.
No, I don't think it did work on Mitchell. But he did leave and go on a trip. And he did throw his cell phone out the window.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyways.
Well, I mean, I'm glad they're all back normal. Picking them berries.
Yeah. So, guys, that wasn't the longest story in the world, but it sure had a few twists and turns.
I mean, for real. I just was like, I didn't know where you were going to go with that, and that didn't even.
Well, the thing of it is, like I said, it was literally like a week-long thing, and that was mm-hmm. it. I mean, everybody just came out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You think of it like a trance. Everybody kind of came out of it in their own time period.
Right.
Some just took longer than others, and some were even more affected than others.
Oh, I'm sure. Wonder if anybody got it up the butt.
What?
Maybe aliens got them.
My God.
A stuck probe up in there.
My God. You and your probes.
What?
All right, guys. We're going to take a quick sponsor break, and we'll be right back with some news. All right, I lied. We don't have any news. Well, I mean, we've still got the cruise. Don't forget about that. September, leaving out of Galveston. So we got that. And then I'm on the verge of having the Casadega show set up.
Nice.
I've got a date thrown out there, but it's going to be late April. That's all I'm going to say right now because I haven't got a confirmation on the date. That place is only going to be 30 people. It's going to be intimate. Intimate.
We're going to be all up in each other's bees' nests. Yeah.
And also, it's a strange situation. At the Casadega Hotel is haunted. Okay, mm-hmm. There's a lot of reports of. Remember our server that day at the restaurant, which is where we'd be holding this at the restaurant. Our server was telling us all the crazy stuff, and he'd only been there for a month or so.
Oh yeah, he hadn't been there very long at all.
And he was telling us all kinds of crazy stuff. But the room we're going to be in, we'll just say I hope all of y'all like each other because you're going to be all up in each other's business.
Wear deodorant.
But. It's not going to be big enough. We're not going to be able to have all the effects that we normally have. I mean, mm-hmm. We'll have one speaker, but that's going to be plenty.
Oh, yeah. We probably don't even need
That'll be plenty. And but we're not going to be able to have our projector set up or any of that. There's just not room. But it's going to be cool. So for you 30 who get to come, it's going to be a blast.
Yay.
But I'm shooting for, like I said, end of April.
Okay.
And it's all going to be on a Saturday, so.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, hopefully I'll have an answer on that tomorrow. And then when I do, I'll post it in the group mm-hmm. and all that stuff. St. Augustine, I'm shooting for August for our birthday show.
Yeah, when it's really, 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 really hot.
But we'll be inside, so it won't matter.
Oh, that's true.
So, and then that's all I got.
Yeah,
Tracy, that is what do you got?
Well, I would like to say thank you guys for all the really nice reviews that you left us. It means a lot. We had our favorite Mojo Lobster never lets us down every week. Beer City Street B, Kay Cummins, and Garf Man 72. Thank you guys. Your reviews were very, very nice. And as we said 100 times before, those reviews move us up the chart. So we really appreciate you all taking the time out to do that for us. We love y'all.
Yes. Now I have another trick.
What?
For you guys to try. This is it's kind of like cheating, but it will still help. If everybody will go to their podcast app and just pull up Hillbilly Horror Story and then unsubscribe and then resubscribe right afterwards, that helps too.
Oh.
I've never asked anybody to do that, but that's something that helps because the other thing they look at is how many new subscriptions you get. And mm-hmm. even if you unsubscribe and resubscribe within seconds of each other, they don't realize it. Mm-hmm. And it gets you more looks and listens and puts you on more lists and stuff like that. I learned that from Phil Holmes.
Oh, RIP Phil. I've been thinking about him. I don't know why, but I've been thinking about him recently.
Yeah. I ran across something. An old message that he had sent me the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
Made me think about him. He had his faults, but I miss him.
Yeah, for sure. He's one of a kind, that's for sure.
He was one of these people that and we all know somebody like this, that he could get on your very last nerve, but he was so charming. That
Charming. That's a good word.
He was so charming that you just couldn't help but to just try to keep,
of course,
your ties with him.
Yeah. But again, we appreciate you guys doing that for us. It means a lot. And I love you.
Yep. I love you guys too. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys. Have a blessed week.